Hello, and welcome back to the Video Essay Podcast. I'm your host, Will DeGravio. On today's show, I have the pleasure of chatting with Christopher Jason Bell, the director and editor of Miss Miette, an epic 10-part found footage series on the presidency of George W. Bush. This series begins in the year 2000 and goes all the way through the Bush presidency and ends with the dangerous rehabilitation of Bush's image in more recent years. In fact, not only did I have a chance to speak with Christopher Jason Bell here on the podcast, but I also wrote an essay on Miss Miette that was published in the most recent issue of Millennium Film Journal, which I would encourage you to order online, the 79th issue of Millennium Film Journal, titled Re-Presentation. And if you are in the New York area, there is going to be a screening on April 23rd, that's Tuesday evening, of some of the films that are covered in the most recent issue of Millennium Film Journal. Miss Miette is not part of that program, but I would encourage you to attend nonetheless. This is a really fascinating conversation with Christopher, and I really enjoyed getting to, you know, hear the backstory about how this work came together. As always, you can find more about the Video Essay Podcast at thevideoessay.com, subscribe to our free newsletter, Notes on Videographic Criticism, and find us on social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, we're there. Now, without further ado, here's my conversation on Miss Miette, on the years of George W. Bush, with Christopher Jason Bell. Pleased to be joined by Chris Bell, who is the director of the epic 10-part found footage series Miss Miette, which is a portrait of that begins with the election of George W. Bush in 2000 and runs it up to not only the election of Barack Obama, but in the final episode kind of looks at the rehabilitation of Bush's image in recent years. So Chris, so grateful to have a chance to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you a lot for having me, and I'm excited to get into it with you.
Perfect. And so just very basic question out of the way, could you just give us kind of the Cliff Notes version of your bio and kind of what got you interested in George W. Bush? Because as we'll get into, you spent a lot, you must have spent a lot of time with him in putting this together. So I'm curious kind of where does that fascination kind of begin and what's your arc up until that point?
Right. So I was a freshman in high school when 9/11 happened. I was also like, did not really listen to music until junior high. So I was in the pipeline of pop punk. You know, it was this mix of like 9/11, which is really crazy, being in my teen years, and then also getting into punk, which was very like anti-Bush, which, you know, just like kind of shaped everything going forward for my life. And then I was very interested in sketch comedy, which led me to want to learn filmmaking more, and made some projects in college and got out of school and realized that I needed to figure out a way to just kind of do the same thing as I was doing in college, like making movies with friends and, or like making new friends, and then you make movies together. And that took a while to kind of figure out how to do, and thankfully kind of technology caught up a little bit. There was the mumblecore movement and it's like various iterations, so it was becoming more acceptable and things like that. But the thing is, like, it still cost money, you know, it's still, and time, like a lot of time, like of other people and scheduling and stuff like that. So, you know, it was always in my head that like I need to do little projects, like not even short films, but like B-sides. And how do I do something? How do I work on my craft? How do I like express myself with my art? And like, you know, for better or worse, it's film video related art. And, you know, one of my day jobs is archives. So I guess that's kind of in my head. You know, I'm always watching older stuff. And then around 2014, you get this kind of process of George W. Bush rehab, where it's like, we all thought he was bad. And then all of a sudden, circles that, at least at the time, like liberal circles, were kind of saying, no, he's okay. And it just, that never stopped. And it, you know, it just went on from like, you know, I don't think it started necessarily in 2014. That's when I noticed it and it kept happening. And I was like, man, it'd be like, you know, think of everything as a story. It was like, it'd be interesting to see like a movie where you go through the Bush years, you go through his like presidency, like Iraq, like Afghanistan, 9/11, protests, like tax cuts, him being an idiot, like goofy, death, destruction, surveillance state, all this stuff. And then like the end of the movie, he's on Ellen. I was just like, you know, it was like a little cheeky, but it's also very enticing because of like very interested in like America and the capitalist system and all the like crazy contradictions that just like prop it up somehow. And it was like, oh, that seems to do a lot of stuff. And I just couldn't get it out of my head. And then even the idea of using archival video, where it was like at that specific time was like SD slowly going to HD. And then if you kept following him to Ellen, you would get like more pristine images and stuff. And that was really interesting to me. And I was like, okay, well, I can't stop thinking about it. I'm looking for a project that I can work on that I'm like super excited about and that doesn't cost any money. I don't need to like, you know, schedule shoots and stuff like that. And here we are. You know, I started 2014, it's 2023, almost 2024, and 10 years later, here we are.
Obviously, I knew that the rehabilitation of Bush started like pre-Trump, but to know that you were working on this film for that long is so fascinating, because I feel that what you've described as kind of this, you know, this rewriting of the Bush history and this nostalgia, right? The missing of Bush, which obviously refers to a meme from the Obama years, but in the Trump years, we've heard these like liberals say like, I even miss George W. Bush compared to Trump, in the way that like, you know, the kind of odd nostalgia for it is just shocking. So I'm surprised to hear you say that it began in 2014. But I don't want to get too lost in the weeds on Trump, but I do want to circle back to it. But, you know, just to get into the kind of how you were conceiving of this, the episodic nature of it, right? Like where it's, you know, functions as a TV miniseries. When did that come into the picture? And did you always, you know, think like, I want to go by this year by year linear structure? Like, how did you kind of begin feeling your way into the project from kind of a scope perspective?
It's funny because a lot of those kinds of things, like the final form it took, all the elements which you might want to ask about, like came very late in the game, which includes it being like more of an episodic thing, which is funny because like, again, it's the final form and it's like, oh, this is it. I could see it no other way. But it started out like as a film, and you know, it was a Herculean task of, you know, the cut was like so long and it was going year by year, you know, doing this. And the first feedback sessions, I had a friend, Zach Fleming, another filmmaker, was like, it's kind of a lot, like what do you think about a series? And you know, I was just like, get out of here. Like, you know, I was like annoyed, but kind of calmed down and you're like, think about it. And you're just like, okay, this is well into streaming. It's well into the idea of like binge watching. So it's like, who am I kidding? You know? you want to treat it as a movie because that's how it was set. Like, I want people to sit there and experience that, all of these crazy things, and then everyone just being like, oh, he's so goofy and we're going to have him on TV now and he paints pictures. So I really wanted that arc and I wanted you to feel that arc. But then it's just like, I guess for a minute I was like, oh, if it's series, you lose all of that. But then you don't, because most people, like, this is how they consume media now anyway. So it became like a sweet spot where it was just like, okay, people can take this slow if they want. And I've talked to some people where they, you know, have to take it slow. But then some people binge it. And then when we screen it, we're usually screening it in like, we can't screen the whole thing in one sitting. I mean, we can, but we haven't. So I've sat there and it is a very interesting feeling to watch all of them together. And I don't know. I do appreciate that it's like kind of user friendly like that in a way. But yeah, that came late. And now it's just like, of course, like, why wouldn't it behave like that? Because there's plenty of footage to use. So it doesn't even like I barely ended up adding things to make it like 20 to 30 minutes. I did, but I don't think they feel like bloated, like, you know, like a Netflix show that should be, it's 10 episodes, but it's like, God, guys, this is a six, this is a sixer, you know. I had plenty to work with. And even, you know, it's like, do I make another episode? Like, I always wonder stuff like that.
Working your way through the footage, because one of the many things that I appreciated is, right, so we're going year by year, and there's sort of moments that, you know, because I lived through this period of history, right? I'm like, okay, there's the Brooks Brothers riot footage, and then there's obviously 9/11, but then there's Kanye West saying George Bush doesn't care about black people. And then, you know, we kind of have these kind of footage moments that we know because they kind of circulate throughout. But then you have some, you're doing a lot of digging, like in the archive of the Associated Press, for example, and finding these kind of in-between moments that I assume like live in, you know, the lowest corners of YouTube or an internet archive or wherever. So talk about kind of the gathering and the sorting of footage and kind of what I feel is like an interplay between that kind of degree of familiarity, like the moments we expect, but then the added context that you bring.
So yeah, a big chunk of that time from 2014 to whenever was like watching this stuff in my spare time, you know, which felt more productive than just like, oh, let me put something on in the background that I'm barely going to like, you know, anyway. So I might as well do work, I guess. The Protestant work ethic. This is like literally watched everything I could find from a year. So it was like a lot of garbage of him getting off a plane, him getting like onto Air Force One, him getting off, and it's literally just that. So you got to go through a lot of that. But, you know, I felt like I needed to watch all of it. It's like, I did set parameters where, and to be honest, like some of it's for ease sake, and some of it is also just like, it makes sense for the narrative I'm trying to tell. But it's just like, you couldn't easily set it before the presidency, but because I did, and it's just like, let me do it here. That's like, I have a personal connection to that, even because of my age. So that kind of cuts out a lot of stuff, but you still have like a year where it's like the year 2000 and the year 2001 pre 9/11, there's like actually not a lot of video. And I was actually like, you know, part of when you're building this thing, you're writing the story as well. And what's kind of interesting is that he was like trying to do China stuff, which is obviously a bigger thing now. But it was also like they were kind of just getting started shooting all the time too, in a way, because it just... like, it wasn't a lot of stuff. It wasn't like meaty stuff. It wasn't like interesting, even like in an objective way. What I mean by that is, maybe we'll get into it, but like, there are some times when I'm like watching footage and it's like, I found a way to put it in the series because it was a cool shot. And by cool shot, all I mean is it zooms, you know, like it zooms, it pans. And you know, there's more to it, but like in a funny way, it's just like you're begging for like a camera movement or something. So yeah, there's a lot of like watching garbage and just watching like footage that like, is it interesting that he was trying to do China and then 9/11 happened? And it's like, yeah, but it wasn't something that was like in the footage enough where then I didn't have to put too many informational title cards and stuff, because I didn't want to do that. I wanted that to be like a contextual stylistic thing as well. And then for familiar things, I think a lot of familiar things are mostly in the series, but I did try to do them in a different way. Like, I think you see 9/11. 9/11 is first when he's reading to the children in the classroom. I didn't know there was a video of that, but there is. So I like let you guys watch it. You know, it's like, let's watch and sit, and we'll be with him in that moment. And it's like very eerie, very like foreboding. And then I found footage of like random camera people went out on 9/11. They took footage in stores, people watching. And I was like, this is like a pretty interesting way to view it. Now Watch This Drive is very famous, but did we ever watch his golfing like after that moment? No. So like, let's do it. It's kind of funny, but it's kind of interesting to like, you know, it's like a familiar song, you know, but you have to sit with it in a different way. And like, what does that do to your brain and your assessment of what's going on? It's kind of like I am still into slow cinema, but it was like I kind of came up on that in a way. And the design of like holding on a shot, and it's just like holding on for too long. The distancing effect, you get upset, you do this. But I was always fascinated where it's just like whatever you're watching is like doing this thing, and it's making your mind go to certain places, and it's sort of employing that technique in a way where it's like something very familiar, it's just a little longer. And what happens to the viewer with that? And it's interesting because it's like it's something very, very familiar. Because it's like, you know, if you're American, it's your like everyone knows Bush, you know, everyone knows these moments of Bush. So it's like, what happens when it's just like there's a little tweak and you have to sit with it longer?
It's so funny you mentioned the Watch This Drive, because I literally had that in my notes where I was like, oh, I have not seen this full montage before. I want to talk. I was very fascinated by, or you know, you keep the Associated Press logo in kind of a lot of the montages that you use, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I have a limited, I have some experience in like kind of looking at these newsreels that the AP used to put together. They're not even really newsreels. They're almost like just this like string of like various clips from events, particularly like in like the 80s and 90s and 2000s. And as you say, they can be like very boring. And I'm sometimes curious what they were exactly for. I mean, I imagine maybe they sometimes made their way into like cable news segments as B-roll, or were just kind of very rough documents. And I think knowing that context, it was very interesting to see kind of how you animated that. And I felt that in watching the film, it was kind of just about, in watching it in contrast to like today, where how presidents are filmed and how this footage goes viral and how it feels so polished, you know, Biden, you know, everywhere, or Trump, you know, right, every single thing he did was documented. And then even Obama is kind of in the transition period as well. And so it felt very much like a commentary on that.
You know, I mean, I actually thought there was going to be a ton of stuff. And I thought I was going to have a lot of like Bush by himself looking around. Like, I thought I was going to have the opportunity to have more slow moments of him not talking or whatever. I don't know why, because it was a lot of him talking or a lot of him, a lot of like moments where he's not talking, where again, it's him getting off a plane and it's just like, I can't, there's no interesting way for me to use this, you know? So I was kind of surprised that, for whatever reason, like they didn't have him just like sitting around and doing nothing or something like that. But yeah, it is interesting. Like I tried to throw in as many like little amusing things I could find. The one thing that comes to mind is, very briefly, it's almost just like they were letting the camera run a little bit because it's not fully on Bush. And it's like, you see the whole press corps there, but he's talking about how he's talking about like the presidential rug. And he's just like, oh yeah, everybody, every president gets to design his own rug. And, you know, not really like necessarily a funny thing, but just like the kind of rapid like punch of just like a sort of a non sequitur. It's like amusing.
Again, yeah, I'm just kind of curious what's out there for the archive generally, because I felt that one of the things you mentioned earlier was like how we get to see this kind of the development of video quality kind of throughout the piece. And it was just interesting for me. I experienced that kind of change in texture as well while watching it. Especially, well, you know, in thinking about kind of which images like kind of persist and which ones change kind of in our current moment. And one of the things I was thinking about was like the relationship between like George Bush and meme culture generally. And like, for example, like Miss Me Yet, like refers to this billboard that went up in like 2010, I think was in Ohio, I think, or somewhere in the Midwest of Bush kind of, you know, he's crouching and waving. And that's kind of become a meme. Like the you begin your series, but with him like flipping off the camera when he's governor of Texas, and that's like become a meme. And so it was very interesting to kind of see some of these images again in their original context. And yeah, I think just like I was really feeling this kind of passage of time and kind of how old some of the images felt to me, which again was surprising because they're really not.
Yeah, part of that was exciting too, to just like not even just like use the that kind of like it has its own narrative arc, like digital goes like SD goes HD kind of thing. Because you really are just spending so much time with the SD, like that's most of the presidency, but just like accepting that as like the language, or like just the way you're seeing it like now on a, you know, on a screen with much better like resolution, and like, what does this do to the material? And then also by like having to kind of use like not the best version of this footage, like I'm taking like commercials and it's like whatever was on YouTube, and it's like a very terrible VHS rip, so it's like it's literally like breaking apart and fixing itself together as you're watching it. And it's just like embracing that feeling while you're watching a movie, or a series rather, about, you know, an American president. It's stuff like this where it's just like it's inherent in the material you're using, and you don't hide it, you embrace it, and it becomes an element of like the thing you're making. Very interesting to me. And to go back, you know, I do want to say, looking through footage, I was absolutely like, I want to include Iraq. I want to include Afghanistan. I don't want it to be like solely stuff in America. And I was surprised how much they did manage to shoot over there. Not even just like shots of, you know, destruction or whatever, but like interviews and asking people what happened, what they thought, interviews with people like there were interviews that I couldn't necessarily use, but they always did like reactions. So it's just like Baghdad, like after like Bush said this, or Baghdad even after like a certain election. And, you know, I mean, I was a kid, but I think the going theory is that like we didn't really see stuff like that on the news. And I don't necessarily know if that's true or not, but like I kind of think it is. But it's interesting. They shot it. They did it. And they say interesting things. I mean, the after in the 2008 election, like when Obama wins, like there's some people who are like, I think this will be really good. I think the country, like Iraq will be better with him. And then there's some people who are just like, no, it's like not going to change. It's going to be like the same. You know, an interesting variety of like opinions and people they get. And, you know, that was very fascinating to me. And I'm glad to have like, glad to have seen it. I'm glad to like have really included it. And I wanted to make that like a point that it was definitely a discovery for me. Looking through the archives and seeing all that stuff is really exciting.
They say that like Obama was like the first social media president is like kind of his thing. So right, like with Bush, you kind of have, which would kind of make him the last president, like, you know, in kind of the pre-social media days. And of course, these boundaries are kind of porous, but right, like if footage wasn't shown on like it, via the mainstream news, which I, you know, I'm younger than you, I think, but you know, I don't know how it would have been disseminated, like in the same way that obviously, you know, we, if the war were, you know, the wars were taking place now, I mean, you know, we see the way that, you know, with, you know, the, you know, ongoing genocide in Gaza and, you know, the war in Ukraine, right? Like all of these things we see every day on social media and stuff. So it was exciting for me as well to kind of re-encounter some of that footage through your film. And it's just, where exactly were you sourcing it? Like, was it on YouTube? Like, was that a primary source for you or for the AP website? Like where physically were you pulling and finding it?
Yeah. AP, YouTube, some stuff from C-SPAN, and that might be it. I mean, YouTube does a lot of the work since it could be anything. Yeah, those three, I believe.
And it's so interesting. Like, even I feel that, like, obviously I wasn't alive when, like, or maybe, you know, when in watching, like, you know, maybe when Nixon was president or LBJ or Ford, but like some of that footage looks better to me than some of like the Bush footage from a quality standpoint, or something like that. But I almost feel like what you were describing, kind of this SD quality to the Bush image. At watching your film, I felt like maybe that is part of the reason why it's so easy to forget, like how unwatchable it is. But maybe that's a tale like as old as time. Like when I watch footage from like January 6th, for example, like I get how MSNBC can play that every night, for example. Like I get how it can recirculate and it can, you know, kind of live on. And I just wonder if that kind of the SD and the, you know, the video image allows us, you know, the larger us to kind of create distance from it. I mean, was that something I wonder if you have any thoughts on kind of how the moving image itself, like why does the society, why do we have that distance from it in your view?
Wow. That's a big question. Cause if you're talking about older presidents, you're mainly talking about like you probably saw footage of them. Very likely it was shot on film. So there's like, we all love film. It's even like not too much artificial like cinema lighting. So it's kind of like almost a little gritty, like our favorite 70s American movies. But there was a way that they shot film of like a video projection back in the day, which looks awful, of some news broadcasts and therefore some like presidential speakings and stuff like that. And I think because we have this like the film stuff is more respectful, pristine. We hold it on a higher plateau. And now you're talking about digital and the kind of growing pains of digital. We would shoot home videos on VHS, on mini DV, and it had, I think for a while that was what was real to us. Like the other thing, it was like a different class of things. And then the digital was on the ground. Here's my very boring, school play that my mom shot, and the camera is, it's zooming into me, and then it zooms out for the whole class, and it zooms back into me, and it's literally the whole play, you know, not even play. Let's say it's like a choir, you know, we do holiday songs. Who wants to ever watch this? And I think when we see SD, there's still some part of that, still some part of remove where it's like lower and yet more personal, but like disgusting because the image is like muddier and cruddier. And then we have a thing with cinema where it's like we're doing found footage. So not Blair Witch, because Blair Witch was shot on film, which is very interesting to go back and watch that today. But, you know, the next wave of oh no, what's the name of that movie? Man, I was on a roll and now I'm stumped with a movie title.
Wait, not Paranormal Activity. No.
Yes.
Paranormal Activity. Yeah.
Was there something before that? I don't know. But Paranormal Activity is like, whatever. Like, you know what I'm talking about. It's found footage in that way that adheres to what I was saying. So inevitably, like in that like dirty, muddy image, like we see horror, and it kind of uses that thing of like your mom filming you in the choir, where it's just like, why are they holding on this shot? You expect something horrible to happen, and like the grain, the artificial grain, it's not film grain, but it's like rough and ready. It's like, oh, it's so cool. Like there's something inevitably creepy in it. And it's something that something like Skinamarink uses very well. Like that director, like very much understood that, even in an intellectual way, and used it, utilized it. So all this to say, like I do have like a big affinity towards that kind of like SD digital, because it has all those things baked into it, and very few people saw how to use even that like potential. Even like that, there was like a few movies that were made but didn't necessarily have those artistic intentions. Maybe they just wanted to make a movie. Like I'm thinking of like Pieces of April, or like I think Tadpole was sort of like higher digital, and I haven't seen those movies in very long, but they're not necessarily my type of movies. You think about that movie, I forget the name, but Elliot Page. It's a Canadian movie. It's a very weird movie, and it's shot on that low grade digital, and that's like the kind of movie, in addition to the found footage horror movies, that are utilizing that the way that image looks and feels to a certain end. I won't even say a different end, but a certain end. They're utilizing what they have. And that was a thing I had in mind when using this bush footage. So I do think it has like some weird distancing effect, but you know, it's part of those like reasons that we like grew with it as like a its own sort of medium or subgenre of medium.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's kind of right where your film is operating within, kind of that found footage tradition, where if someone like engages one of these clips on its own on YouTube, what you're drawing, you know, you and kind of through your montage and assemblage are drawing all of that all of that out of it to great effect. I also want to talk about the other images that you're using, sounds and images that you're using in the film. You intercut like the bush footage with commercials, with we see Kelly Clarkson win American Idol for the first time, right? We see the Red Sox win the World Series, and other kind of pop culture, sports, historical moments from the period. Sometimes you there's one point where there's like a ad about like how easy it is to get a mortgage, and then you cut to Bush saying like, I never want to leave my successors with a problem or something like that, right? So you use it in a bunch of different ways. But could you just describe for us generally what your thought process was and, bringing in non-Bush footage, as it were, throughout the series?
It's an exciting idea because it is like, it's like the game genie to get people interested, because that's just fun. But I would never do it just solely for that, because why is it fun? Aside from it being like, this is how they like advertised. It's fun because even if you didn't experience it, it's the nostalgia thing. So how to then use the nostalgia that you're getting within this piece. And I think that kind of works with the whole idea of spending time here and kind of recontextualizing what happened, what was going on in the highest chamber of power. Again, storytelling wise, it helps with the context of what it felt like to be within each year. So it's like, what were sitcoms doing? What was TV in general doing? What were the funny things? Yeah, what was happening in sports? What was happening in broader pop culture? You get to then deal with how the media apparatus speaks to you, speaks to the country, and then has a dialogue with both the country and the political wing of, not even like super directly, but there's these things happening where it's like Bush was very religious, religious conservative, and used that to his advantage. And in turn, on the opposite end, you get, Friends was like a pretty sexual sitcom. The sitcoms were like fairly sexual at that point. But commercials, there's a commercial in the show, I think in 2008, I don't even know, I think it's a commercial for a phone, camera on the phone, where a guy's at dinner with, you presume, his girlfriend, and he's like two women pass by, and he's like checking out their ass with his phone. And it's like, that was a commercial. It's really crazy. And then, my wife and I joke about like the soap commercial where a woman's in the shower and you don't see anything, but she's using this kind of soap and she's like moaning in ecstasy. It's just like, this is crazy. Like, they're selling soap, and they're like using sex or like using innuendo to sell this, like in the time when it was he was like putting out like socially conservative airs through religion. So what are these things that, feed each other and why? Like, I found many ways to do that. And then obviously like the financial crisis, is coming. And it's interesting to look back and see like the way that they were represented in commercials, like by banks, which is obvious. You know, there's a way to be obvious with these like pop culture moments. And I definitely did it. And I think that's fine because there are things that I'm like, man, nobody's going to get this or nobody's like, there are things I'm trying to reference that don't come like for a few more episodes. And then, there's so much material that it's like, they would never get that. So it's just like, you kind of, I allowed sometimes to take the, easy route, but you know, and then sometimes, like you said, there's stuff where it's like Bush is like, oh, I didn't want to, you know, leave problems to future presidents. Just like, well, he really said that. What are you going to do? You know, like the very opening when he's like talking, when he's doing a debate with Al Gore, he was just like, he's like, I don't think we should do nation building. Like, I don't, it's like he said, like, that's, I don't know what you want me to say. Like, that's it. Like, he said it. That's interesting. Like, you know, it's like, is it easy? Whatever. But he said it, but like the using the pop culture angle had a lot of very like practical uses that made it like much easier to digest things, but it also opened up a lot of like avenues and layers that would not be there if not for that element.
I think your film deals with nostalgia in really interesting and important ways. I was thinking about, I don't know if you saw this documentary that came out 2-3 years ago. I'm not sure. It's called like The Booksellers. And in a lot of ways, it was kind of a, you know, standard documentary about, you know, the history of bookselling, like primarily in New York. But it kind of made the case in thinking about like the nostalgia that people have for like Barnes and Noble, for example. Same thing could even be true for like Blockbuster, right? Like the nostalgia we have for these chains. It's like, oh, well, Amazon or Netflix or someone's, oh, they killed them. How sad that is. But then we forget like the history of those corporations like doing the same thing to like, right, like independent booksellers, right? It's the, what is it, You Got Mail, like kind not, yeah, You Got Mail kind of thing, right? And yours was in kind of putting all these cultural things together and was really having me, it's a reminder that we do kind of the same thing for presidents or for leaders. And I feel that I felt like this great frustration personally lately that it's almost like, if Trump is bad, then everything before him is kind of good. And, you know, like we can only have one bad person. Like one, I'm going to go off tangent here, but I remember maybe a year ago or so, Robert Reich, who I would have, you know, was like a progressive kind of force, wrote this like horrible Substack newsletter where he said that he thought Liz Cheney should be like the president. And I was like, are you kidding? Like we've lost our minds that collectively. And so I want to know, kind of circling back to what I mentioned at the beginning of this, kind of this nostalgia and the memory of Bush now, while Trump is this like ascendant force and figure, how did the Trump years, and I include right as we're recording this right now as the Trump years, how does that shape your editing and your thinking about the project and kind of the media ecosystem that it's going to from when it began in, you know, 2014, when you started thinking about that? And I apologize in advance. I know that was another long-winded question, but I hope it's direct enough.
Yeah. I mean, how did it affect my editing? That's kind of hard to say because I think if you look at the media during his before, during, and still after, yeah, things were a lot faster. Things were a lot quicker. And like, I think the film is slower than that. There's still like rapid moments of the pop culture and stuff like with the editing. But I did try to make it more along the lines of like how I would normally make a film and the way I would like a film to be, which is hard to answer the question because like, is it in response to how he was treated in the media and how he used media? It's like, not really. It's just kind of how I saw things and how I continue to see things and how I like make art and stuff. So, you know, I mean, I don't know if it affected the editing. Maybe it affected the creation because it was like, I did want to make this thing that was just like, yeah, it wasn't just one bad one. And president, but part of it too was just you do run the risk of being like the president is a very powerful position. But you don't want to leave everything else out, because then it's just like, I'm kind of saying the same thing where it's like, there's one bad one. Like, I acknowledge obviously that, you can do things in that position, but there is a system, and it's a very specific system that operates in a specific way. And that kind of shapes who's in there. So by centering like a series on Bush and not, for instance, more of his administration, like Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, stuff like that, you do run the risk of just like, hey, if somebody else was in there, everything would have been like A-okay. And that's like part of the extra like contextual stuff too, is just like trying to make it like as best as I can, and the pop culture, like widening everything so that it's more of a systemic critique as best as I can, because the thesis is still like, you're coming in and it's Bush, and you're never going to get away from that. But I think that was in response to Trump as well, where it's just like, I had many, many problems with, I mean, I was going to say Obama, but like literally every president I've had many, many, many problems with. So yeah, I think it was like placing all of the ills of society on one president, is an issue to me. So there was some form of, I don't have a word for it. I don't want to say like educational aspect, because I don't want to like talk about it in that way. I don't want to talk about myself in that way. But like, is it bad if I just say recontextualization? If I say that, like I've said that like 20, 30 times every time I talk about the series, but you know, I thought that was very important of just like, you know, I guess when you talk to some people and you tell them information, you know, they have to have the lens to understand it in. So if you don't have a lens to understand why something a president said or did was bad, like a greater understanding, you know, it's probably not going to stick. You're going to find ways to like shoot away or something. And I'm not sure how much can really be done in a 10-part series about one president, but I did try to widen the scope and talk about like the macro things, such as the American project itself, or the system of imperialism, or the great big capitalism, and things like that, which I thought were important when we're discussing these types of things.
And I think what you're, you know, and this is right, what great works do is, I think the way that you've edited and constructed the film, of course, might not have Trump in mind, because clearly this is a work that someone could watch 40, 50, 70, 80, whatever years from now, and it would be a very compelling portrait of this period, Bush, and as we've said, everything else, I mean, you know, many other things that are going on in, you know, American life and, you know, also abroad, but also to like, to watch it now where, you know, cover documentary festivals, and, you know, for a lot of like the larger ones or a lot of festivals, like it's hard to find one that doesn't have some type of Trump documentary, or they're everywhere. They're on HBO, they're on Netflix, you know, the Steve Bannon's doing this, Roger Stone's doing that, you know, Trump did this. These are the, you know, the new Trump, the whatever. So to have this re-examination of Bush now as we kind of prepare to, you know, for 2024 and stuff, it's a very interesting period in which to view the film. I think in that context, I wanted to ask about the kind of your distribution of the film. It's available to stream, I believe still for free, via Means TV. And I was wondering, for folks like listening, could you just provide what is Means TV? And how did, you know, I think you, it's billed as a Means TV production. So, what was like that process, like, and what has the kind of it been like to, you know, source it there and find an audience via that platform?
So Means TV is a worker owned streaming service, co-op. So that means that generally, if your work is distributed there, you are a co-op member and you get to reap the profits that the service generates, and you also get to have a say in what gets produced, where the money goes. You can decide what the co-op does. For instance, we're in early talks to have some sort of grant for projects that are, like, you know, not necessarily, I think, coming in pre-production, but like more of like a post-production thing. And I've been with them since the beginning, which was like 2020. They distribute the first feature film I made, Winds That Scatter. And that's been really great. It's been a loving relationship, very supportive. And obviously, since they came about, or they debuted in 2020, you know, I was well along before I even knew them with this project, Miss Me Yet. But it's just one of those things where it's like, oh my God, like, because I didn't know what I was going to do with it. Because the nature of like using all of this footage, that I was like, you know, I can't pay for all this. And, you know, I didn't care. It's just like, I just need to do it. I need to get it out of here. This, my head, I need to get it out, put it out there. And there would be times for screenings and stuff, but I didn't really know where it would live. And you throw it up on YouTube and you don't get like support of a platform. So it was like very nice that they were able to do it and come on and talk about it, talk about like who we were going to reach out to, who we were going to send it to, how we were going to talk about it, that kind of thing. Promotional aspects, which has been fun. It's like a constant dialogue of them, or it's just like how to use the platform and the reach in the best way. We have very little resources to play with compared to most films and TV shows and that kind of thing, but they're very strong supporters, so that's been good. And it was also like an enticing way, like it's not something we wanted to charge for, but it's something that like we wanted to put on the service to, I mean, it will be available for free indefinitely. But it's something we like to have on there where it's like, this is the kind of things they do. This is like who we are. And if you like what you see, like give us like a little bit of money and you get like more content. Films, different, we have a news show, we have different documentaries, we have different comedy web series. That's all behind the paywall, and it kind of like entices you to come to the website, check it out, and if you like what you see, you can see more.
I wasn't familiar with Means to Be before seeing your film, so I'm definitely excited to kind of check out what else is going on there.
It worked.
It worked. It definitely worked. Well, I feel like we've barely scratched the surface here, but one final question. You mentioned kind of wanting to get this film out into the world. And so, you know, now that it has been for a while, and what was the process like for you, like having finished it? Was it catharsis? Like, was it more like anger, frustration? Like, you've spent more time with George W. Bush than I think a lot of us probably would want to. So kind of what has it been like for you to kind of be done with it and like living with the series?
It's really interesting because it's the easiest pitch ever for me of stuff I've done, where it's like, you know, my first feature, Winds That Scatter, was like, well, it's a narrative documentary hybrid that I worked closely with a middle-aged Syrian Muslim guy, and it's like kind of like Kiarostami, you know. It's very, you know, maybe you know what I'm talking about, but and it's in Arabic mostly. It's a tough sell, and I'm proud of it, and people like it, but it's not an easy pitch. Miss Me Yet, people know exactly what I mean, you know. And either they are, if regardless if they're interested or not, like they know what, if they sit down, they kind of know what they're going to get. They don't really know that otherwise. And I didn't really appreciate that till it came out, where I'm just like, hey, let me put this out there. Let me talk to this outlet to see if they'd be interested in covering. They probably won't be. It'll be hard. And just like the response is so much more understanding, because it's just kind of plain as day on the surface, like what it could be. So that's been interesting. And, you know, it's got a weird life. Normally, I kind of save up a bunch of money, you know, and write and then make a film and then submit it to festivals. And then you wait to get into one, and then you do, and then hopefully you get into a few more. And then if you don't, like, at some point you figure out what you're going to do with it. Generally means it's going to go online in some form. And then you keep trying to like get people to review it and talk about it and that thing. And this, like, we did have screenings and we're going to still have screenings, but it's also like there for people to watch. So it's been like, it's like a weird hustle. Like, it's been very interesting. It's very easy to talk about. It's very easy to pitch. And like, people are still, it's one of those things too, where it's like, I'm posting a lot about it and I was like, oh my God, I'm being so annoying. But like, and I know I am, I'm annoying myself, but then you're like, someone will comment and be like, hey, I never seen this. This is cool. You're like, hey, what do you mean you never seen it? So it's been a weird learning experience where it's just like, you realize what little reach you have, and you realize like, I guess I'm going to be annoying to myself and to, you know, some people. But it's been interesting. It's been happy. Like, one thing that's been funny is that like everyone will comment because it's Bush, you know. Again, it's just like, oh, I did this film. It's like inspired by the Iranian New Wave, and it's mostly in Arabic, and people are very nice, but you know, but this is Bush. You're getting more comments, and some people like, they'll be like, check out Miss Me Yet. And like, they just must see Miss Me Yet in bold and Bush's face. And they're like, they just comment like, no. And it's like, oh my God, it's funny, but it's like, please don't do that. Like, it's like, I don't want like, you know, the trailer and people just writing like, no. And it's like, oh man, but that's what it's about. It's about no. So it's been funny. It's truly bizarre to have it out, and it's truly bizarre to see the response. And it's a little bit removed. Like, this is nice. Thanks so much for having me on. And I really love talking about it. Online is a little different because you are removed versus like a physical screening. But regardless, it's really interesting to see people's response to it who are younger than me, like the Zoomer generation, because that was like kind of unclear. And people my age will talk to me about that because it's like, I'm a millennial and it's like Gen X, like obviously like they'll get up to like what are Zoomers going to think, you know? And, you know, at the screenings they were there and they were into it. And it's like, just very interesting to see the response. And it's like I said, it's an easy pitch, which means also it's like very easy to talk about, like very, very easy to talk about. So having the conversation about it has been exciting. In short, it's been a good release. I feel good. And it has a life. It like keeps going. Like, you know, I'm not used to this kind of thing, but it's good.
No, that's fantastic to hear. I think it's a film about no, is a great line. And I really hope it keeps building. So thank you so much for talking about it. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the time to do it.